You like my fake thumb, huh? Once it was revealed that that's the way I did it, you would have never got these kids to believe I could make it disappear in my hand again, because they already knew what? They already knew it was there, right? We let them in on it. Today, I want you to open your Bible to John chapter 8, because Jesus is going to let you in on a lie, all right? Once you find your place, John chapter 8, stand and raise your Bible above your head, bear witness of God's word. Beautiful, beautiful. You may be seated. I don't think we've ever lived in a time like we're living in now where the truth has been distorted so much as a lie, and the lie has been promoted as much as the truth as it is now. If you are aware at all of the things that are going on in our society where we live today, then you would see that there are some things, if you're a Christian, you would see, then you would immediately in your mind, you would think, how in the world are people thinking like this? Has this happened to anybody that's in here? Have you had that thought in your mind? How are people thinking like this? It's almost as if there is an illusion or a delusion as to what is right and what is wrong. And it's one thing for somebody that has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one thing for them not to believe it, that what God said is true. But it's another thing when Christians begin to waver there and accept part of the things that God says are clearly right, accept them as wrong, or the things that he says is wrong as right. So I do believe this is a timely message. I know that God was leading me in a strong way to be able to deliver it to you, but I found out something about myself in preaching this message. I'd been under the assumption, the quick answer assumption, for years and years. What is it, even as a Christian, that kept me from being at peace with God? What kept me from being able to have fellowship with Him? What was it that kept me from doing that? And my quick answer was, it was my sin, right? It was my sin. Because what keeps us from God? But I discovered in Jesus' message here that He gives us this detail that will not only just keep us from the quick answer of sin, but it will help us to know why that sin comes upon us. And His answer is because we begin to believe a lie. All sin comes on us because we begin to believe a lie. I want you to listen as Jesus teaches here and realize that He was teaching about truth and lies. He was speaking to a group of people here at the beginning of John chapter 8 that the Bible calls the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious elite. They were practicers of the law, Judaism. They believed in God, but they did not accept Jesus Christ as His Son, as the Messiah. Even though Jesus was proclaiming this, they were the one that were looking at themselves as being above other people. They were more versed in the law. They were more versed in what the Old Testament said. And they tried to live a life that was, in other people's eyes, above and beyond the normal person that believed in God. They were the Pharisees. Jesus had issues with the Pharisees because we see in His word that He continually called them hypocrites, vipers, among other things, but He spoke to them in this setting, and if you go back to read verses 12 and 13 of John 8, He says, John tells us, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall live, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto Him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true." So let me ask you, what were the Pharisees saying that Jesus was doing? Tell me again.
Liar.
You mean they were calling Jesus a liar? They absolutely were. Jesus had told them, and if you go back and look and read, Jesus had told them, hey, listen, I don't come in my own power. I come in the power of the Father. I'm here to represent the Father. I speak on behalf of the Father. The things, the miracles I do on behalf of God. He sent me. I'm bearing witness of Him. I'm doing all these things, not in my own power, but in the power of the Father. And then He's trying to reveal Himself, the validity of His testimony, saying, this is who I am. And they said, you're lying. And then in verse 26, we read again. He says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is what? Is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. So what Jesus is saying here is, I want to speak the truth to you. But I'm not speaking of my own truth. I'm speaking of the truth that God has told me to speak. So just keep that in your mind a minute as we move on. Now, when we get to verses 30, we realize that at some point, the Pharisees faded off, and there were people that began to believe in what Jesus was saying. They had that initial belief. Verse 30 says, many believed on Him. Read this with me. It says, and as He spoke these words, many believed on Him. So setting the scene here, realize He spoke to the Pharisees, and then now there are people that came with that initial belief and faith that says, I do think You are Jesus. How many people in here have had that initial faith where you accepted the Lord as your Savior? All right. Now let's read verse 31 through 44. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill Me because My word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with My Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto Him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill Me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to Him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love Me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of Myself, but He sent Me. Why do you not understand My speech? Even because you cannot hear My word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in Him. When He speaketh a lie, He speaketh of His own, for He is a liar and the father of it. As we go through these verses, I want us to see that there is something fundamental and something that is of great importance that we need to leave here with today. We short answer ourselves when we think what keeps us from God by saying sin keeps us from God. But Jesus is speaking here the difference between the truth and a lie. And by the time that we're finished today, I want you to be able to answer this question. What is it that we're really in bondage to? So many times if that question comes to us, as even as seasoned Christians, we'll think, well, what is it that I was in bondage to before I was saved? Somebody answer me. Everybody says sin. I was in bondage to sin. And that's not incorrect. But why were we in bondage to sin? It was because we were in bondage to something else. And I want us to be able to see that today as we look at the Scriptures. Understand in verse 30, it said many believed on Him. They had this beginning belief in Jesus for their salvation. Now, as I ask you to raise your hand, a lot of us have had that beginning belief in salvation. Someone is saved. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They accept that. They have that beginning belief. That is who He's speaking to. Many believed on Him. But Jesus went on in the rest of this passage to stress the importance of not just initial belief. He was stressing the continual command to to be able to seek out the truth. This continual commitment to the truth that God was giving them. He was telling them that the truth will set them free from bondage. So today we do want to talk about that bondage. If you go over these scriptures, you will see that there's a pattern. I don't think that I ever saw the pattern before until I began to dive deep into them. But in verse 31 and 32, he gives us this if-then statement. And it's not just applying for those who are saved. You may be in here today, or you may be listening today, and you may think, I'm not in bondage anymore, right? I'm not in bondage because I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, so I am not in bondage to sin. And immediately we turn our listener off. We think this is for somebody else, and we'll say amen when it applies to that person that we know that we think in our mind. But here's the disturbing thing. As a pastor today, and I'm sure it's not just as a pastor, I'm sure you see this too, that it's not just the lost world, those that don't believe, that are in bondage to sin. Do you believe that Christians can be saved, have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, been freed from their sins, but still walk around in bondage to something? Do you know how you feel when you're in bondage? There's no peace. There's a lot of fear. There's anxiety. I believe there are tons of Christians walking around in bondage that have actually been set free, that have chosen to step back in to some sort of bondage, but we're not talking about it. Verse 31 and 32, Jesus draws the line and he said, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples? Listen, indeed. Now, can I translate that for you? He says, if you continue in my word, then you are really my disciples. What does he mean, really his disciples? Well, I'm his disciple because I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, you have followed in your belief to accept him as your Savior, but a disciple is a follower of God, a follower of Jesus. You could believe but not follow. You could believe unto him for salvation, but then not follow. He said, if you continue in my word, that's important, my word, then are you really my disciples? So in verse 32, he says this verse that we all know because it's a short verse and we can remember it and it's powerful. He basically says, if you stay continually in my word, believing in what I say that God has said, then you'll be able to know the truth. That means you'll be able to not just hear the truth, but know it, and that truth shall make you free.
Amen.
So it causes me to ask this question for them and for us. The truth shall make us free. What did they need to be freed from? Well, then, if it's sin that they needed to be freed from, think about this. The truth. Does everybody understand what the truth is? What is the opposite? Quick answer. What is the opposite of the truth?
Lie.
That was easy for you, right? So, began to think, if it's the truth that makes us free, then it actually has to be a lie that keeps us from being free. We want to paint it and say it's sin, but it's actually a lie that keeps us from being free. A lie keeps us in bondage. Do you realize that before somebody is saved, they are in bondage to a lie? And after someone is saved, they can still be in bondage to another lie, even though they've been freed. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want to give you the Lord's word. Do you know that the truth immediately does away with a lie? It does. You saw these kids. How many of these kids believed the second time that I was actually making that disappear? None of them, because they had been told the what? If I told you today, listen, it is raining outside. It is raining cats and dogs. When you go outside, you're going to get wet. Those of you that have hair are going to have your hair messed up, right? And it was a lie because it wasn't really raining. And you kept living in that lie, thinking, this is what I'm going to have to do when I get to this point, and this is what I'm going to have to do to get to my car. But then, all of a sudden, somebody opened the blinds, and you were able to see, it's not raining outside. Get this, as simple of an illustration as it is, immediately, the truth of what you understood would dispel that lie. There would be no more thinking about what I'm going to do because it's raining, because you know now the what? The truth dispels a lie every time. The truth frees us from a lie. The lie keeps us in bondage to it. So what is the truth that Jesus is speaking of? Well, it's not the truth about whether it's raining outside or not. That's just an example. The truth that Jesus is speaking of here, this truth that shall make you free, the truth that he's speaking, this truth here speaks of divine truth. When you say divine truth, then you're interjecting God into this. The truth that he's speaking of is the truth that has to do with our life according to God. The truth here has a reference to the facts about Jesus. The truth here has a reference to Jesus Christ. Does the Bible tell us that Jesus was in heaven and that he came to earth? Yes. Does it tell us that he was born of a virgin? Yes. That he was God and that he was man? Yes. Does it tell us that he lived on this earth for 33 years and he never sinned? Yes. Does it tell us that he was crucified? Yes. Does it tell us that crucifixion was a sacrifice for our sin? And only the blood of Jesus, if we believe it, can take away our sin. Does it tell us that he was buried after he was crucified and killed? He was buried in a tomb. Does it tell us that he rose again? Then that's the truth. That's the divine truth about him. But not only is that the truth, Jesus was telling them the truth, not only about him, but about everything that God was saying. This was not opinion. This was divine truth. Divine truth, you can find it throughout what we call the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. In the Old Testament, God revealed his divine truth through people called prophets. God spoke to them, and so they spoke to the people. Then Jesus came, and he spoke the divine truth. And then after Jesus left, then the apostles, they wrote the rest of the Holy Scriptures. Why? Because God revealed to them the divine truth. God was telling them, say what I want you to say. If God said it was wrong to do this, then that was the divine truth. If God said it was right to do this, it was the divine truth. If God said if you need salvation or the only way that you can be saved is to accept Jesus, that was the divine truth. But then he went on in the Scriptures to give us more truth. And we leave this truth alone sometimes. We put it in the category of opinion. But he also tells us how we're supposed to live after we're saved. This is the word called sanctification. We leave that part alone sometimes. You know why? Hold on a second. Because we go back to that place in our mind where we have had initial belief. And we say we believed on the truth of God's word. But I'm here to tell you today, if you want to have the peace of God, the blessings of God, the favor of God, and make a difference as a child of God, then you have to live after you're saved according to the truth of God, the divine truth. Jesus wasn't speaking on behalf of himself. He was speaking on behalf of God. He was speaking on behalf of the Father. He was speaking God's mind. He was speaking God's instruction about what is right and wrong. He was speaking about how we're supposed to believe and how we're supposed to live our belief out. He's called himself, Jesus is called the Word of God. John 1, in the beginning was what? The Word. If I were to look at John 1, I would notice something that's amazing. In the beginning was the Word, and Word is capitalized because Word is a proper name. It's the name for Jesus. He was the expression of God. The way that you understand me today is because I am verbalizing what is in my mind. so that you can understand what I'm trying to say to you. That those are called my what? My words, right? In the same way, he called Jesus the Word because Jesus is the expression of God that we can understand. He says, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now listen to this. In him was life, and that life was the light of man, and that light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now listen, there's something big here. That light was Jesus, and that word was sent to us. Later on in that chapter, it says the word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, right? So he's the word. Jesus is speaking the word. He's not only the word. The Old Testament is the word. The apostles wrote the word, and we're supposed to get that word because that word acts as life. It is the light that shines in us that dispels darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is anything that has to do with sin. If you know the truth of the word, you can do away with sin the same way that we've done away with those lies that we got the truth and we found out it's not really raining, right? They got the truth and they found out, hey, he didn't really make this disappear. You can't believe a lie if you stand on the truth. Amen. So why aren't we using the truth more? That's what I would say. So the Word of God, I would say that is truth. If I were to give the simple answer, the Word of God is truth. We have to believe the Word of God to be saved, don't we? When we believe the Word of God and we're saved, we have believed the truth. And that sets us free from our sin position as being a sinner. As the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It saves us from any sin that has us in bondage, our sin nature, because we've accepted Jesus to cover our sin with his blood. But we also have to believe the Word of God and live by that belief in order to please God and represent him as believers. We want the blessings of God, and we want that peace that comes with being saved. But understand, we have to live in that same truth after we're saved. Now, to accept that truth for your salvation, you're accepting that truth and God has saved you and sealed you. Glory to God. But you tell me, and don't think about anybody else, you tell me, has there been times in your life as a Christian, you know you accepted that truth, you believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is your only way to God and you accepted his salvation, but then you have lived with that total lack of peace. You've been defeated. You felt like that you were in bondage to something. Has that happened to anybody here besides me? Well, I want to identify what we're in bondage to. So when Jesus says this second statement in John 8, he says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. Continuing is not just doing something initially. True? It's doing something over again and over again. If you continue in my word, that means continue to focus on what I've said. Continue to study what I've said. Continue to live by what I've said. Not just hear it, but live in it. Everybody in here could come in and hear something. I know there are a lot of people here that are maybe elementary, middle school, high school, college students. It's one thing to hear something that's taught. It's another thing to know it, right? Hearing it and knowing it are two different things. In the book of James, James tells us in verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, I want you to understand this is an important verse, and it's one you want in your notes, because as I read this, it really hit me, because usually we quote this verse and we say, be you doers of the word and not hearers only. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only. But there are some important words that come after that we usually leave out in our quote. Listen to these words. It says, be you doers of the word, not hearers only. Listen, comma, deceiving your own selves. Now, I would hate to think that there's somebody that is lying to me. Does that make you mad when somebody lies to you?
Amen.
Then it should alarm us even more to know that we're only hearers of the words. Guess who's lying to you? You. You're deceiving your own self. So you mean I can't blame it on somebody else? No, we get to where we're deceiving our own selves. I can remember back growing up, we used to listen to this comedian. My dad would turn him on and we would laugh at him. His name was Flip Wilson. Anybody remember Flip Wilson? He came on and he portrayed this character called Geraldine, right? And believe me, he wasn't trying to be transgender. It was all for a funny laugh. People even laughed at it, right? He used to have this line that said, the devil made me do it. And the devil never made anybody to sin. He tempted us to sin, but he never makes you sin. You have to choose to do it. You can hear it, but you have to be a doer of his word. Now, I want to tell you how important this is, this word of truth. When Jesus, right before going to the cross, he poured his heart out to God. He was praying for those people that were going to be left here, those believers. And you know what he said? He didn't say save them again or save them again. He said sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctification is how we live for God. Do you realize that if we accept the truth of God's word for salvation, but then we continue to live in the lie that is against God's word, then we're not living in the truth. Even as Christians, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It was so important that when Paul spoke to the church at Ephesus, listen to the way he began his letters in Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That word of truth is the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. He said, that's how it started for you. And to the church at Colossae in Colossians 1:5, he says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you've heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. In Thessalonica to the Thessalonians, he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because you received the word of God which you heard of us. You received it not as the word of man, but as it is truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believed. Amen. You know how important the word of truth is? How do you get the word of truth? Are you getting it today? You should be getting it today. Why? Because you came to take part in hearing the word of truth preached. When you open your Bible and you read your Bible, are you getting the word of truth? Do you realize that if you're a saved individual, that you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, do you realize that the Holy Spirit is part of the promise of God he sends to you when you accept him? And that Holy Spirit is also the word of truth that will tell you and speak to you. Amen. In all these words, all these ways, we can get the word of truth. So we can see that real truth that Jesus is speaking about is divine truth. This divine truth is the truth that comes from God. The word of truth that comes from God not only saves us when we believe it, this word of truth is something that we have to use every day to live our everyday lives. And I think that people become satisfied with just knowing they've accepted the word of truth, but they're not living in the word of truth.
Come on, man.
So when Jesus told them and us in John 8:32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, he was telling believers, remember, this was believers he was talking to, believers that had initial faith. He was telling them there that faith had set them free from the bondage of sin that would have condemned them to hell. But he also spoke in future tense, meaning if you continue to live in the word of truth, if you continue to live as a Christian, you're going to need to be able to live by the word of truth. But do you realize this statement was met with resistance? If you read verse 33, they quickly told him they didn't need to be freed any further. They said, we're not in bondage to any man. They looked at their society, and they looked at their social position, their political position, their economic position. They said, we're not in bondage to any man. And we may say that. We're not a slave to anything, to anybody. And Jesus quickly pointed out to them, yes, you're a slave to sin, but you're a slave to something else. And I want to show you what it is that's causing that sin. You see, This is where they were wrong, and this is where we are wrong. We can be in bondage to our own mind that has been influenced by the devil to believe something that isn't really the truth. Listen to this. We can be in bondage to our own mind that has been influenced by the devil to believe something that really isn't true. You say, we're smarter than that. They thought they weren't in bondage. And I can look around our society today, and I'm not looking at the lost. I'm looking at the church. I'm looking at those who are claiming to be Christians who have begun to accept things that God says are really not true. They stand against what God says. The devil has a way of putting it into our minds, and we believe it over God's truth. And then we as believers, if we do that, begin to live in that bondage of a lie. So where we think we're in bondage to sin, I want to show you that before sin and the cause of sin is that we're in bondage to a lie. Now we think of ourselves as being smart. We can figure out who's lying to us. But I want to give you this example because this example was awesome. I heard Adrian Rogers use it one time, but I thought, man, this really, really, really paints the picture. And I've seen this before. I've been to the circus before, and I've seen that elephant, right? And that elephant, anybody ever seen that? Well, you used to could see them at the circus. You can't see them anymore, right? But you've been and you've seen that elephant. That big old elephant has a chain around his leg, and he's chained to this little bitty post. And you think to yourself, this big, mighty elephant that can push over trees is chained to a little 2-foot post that's driven down in the ground. And I thought, man, is everybody safe? Well, of course, they're not even trying to break it. And you say, well, it's the post that's keeping him there. Well, of course it's not. That elephant could take off and pull that post or push it over, and he could be freed. But see, what happened to that elephant is when that elephant was small, they took that chain and they chained that elephant to a tree. And as much as he pulled, he couldn't get away from it. As much as he tried to get away with all of his strength, he couldn't get away. So he got in his mind that that chain would never be broken. He got in his mind that no matter how hard he tried, he could not get free. So you see, today, as a big old elephant, he doesn't even try to get free because it's not the stake that's got him, it's the chain. And the chain is right here.
Come on now.
Huh? It's the chain that's right here. And we think sometimes we're not in bondage, but I'm here to tell you today, as ridiculous as this sounds, knowing that the elephant has the power and the strength to break free, we fall into this same scenario as Christians. We can be in bondage to a lie that the devil has us thinking. I can't break free from this habit. I can't break free from this worry. I worry all the time, and I guess I'm always going to worry. I can't break free from this fear, and I think about things, and what if this happens, and what if this happens, and I live in fear all the time, and I can't break free, I just can't stop it. I'm telling you, it's just a chain. Sometimes we get chained to this mindset that I'm not good enough, or I can't break free from my past. We have that mindset that's there, and we're chained to it, so we just stay in the position that we're in, and we even begin to think we're not in bondage because we nuzzle up close to the stake to where the chain doesn't hurt us, so we say we're not in bondage. We just have to stay close enough to this stake. The bondage is not really a bad thing. They feed me here. They take care of me. They come and do this, so I'm not really in bondage. Jesus says, all those thoughts that keep us in bondage, they keep us from having the confidence and knowledge that we really can break free. That elephant really can break free. But he's in bondage to a lie. He's in bondage to a lie that he has set in his mind. And because of that, he'll never break free. Jesus says, the truth shall make you free. Right? You've already seen that the truth does what to this lie? It just blows this lie up. You could never accept that lie once you know the truth. The truth is what God says, and the truth of what God says is stronger than the lies that our mind keeps thinking. God begins to put this picture into play with Jesus' speech here, his lesson, his sermon, but then he goes on later to tell us that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. If you're a child of God, you don't have to be in bondage. If you're a child of God and you're in bondage to something like that, you're choosing to be in bondage.
Come on, man.
He explained in verses 34 through 36 that even if they thought they were not politically or economically slaves to someone else in society or government, they were slaves to sin. They were not really free. And we are not really free. Not really free from sin until we believe the truth of the gospel that sets us free. When you get saved, you are freed. But if you stop right there, you can become embondaged again to some different sin, some different thing that takes your peace, some different thing that stands against God's truth. Today, I never thought I would continually speak about the things to myself as I'm sitting at home and I'm watching the mindset of society that we live in today. I look back at the Word of God, the Word of truth, and I see in the Bible where the Bible tells us from the beginning, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And it doesn't take a genius to look and see that man is masculine and woman is feminine. In a day and time where we can even have churches stand against the truth that says marriage is between man, masculine, woman, feminine. And that's it. That's the only marriage that God ordains, and anything else is wrong.
Come on, man.
That's the truth of God's word. It's clearly put there. But do you know what hurt God so much is that the church, the mediocrity, those going back on the truth, even gave voice to those that were standing against what marriage is supposed to be. Do you know why? They believed a lie.
Yep.
In a day and time, when I had these children answer this question, I said, I can't believe, you might say, I can't believe you asked these children, you know, is it right for a man to be with a man, a woman to be with a woman? You better have your pastor asking them. You better teach it in church because they're going to hear it out here in society. They're going to watch on every, it used to be a TV show, but now it's commercials, right? They're trying to be able to put this chain on, this lie on that tells them, hey, listen, you're not in bondage to this thought. You're free. Stay right here thinking this way. You need to understand that God calls it an abomination. He said, it is not natural. You're doing things that are not natural. I didn't make you this way. So is God, is he an advocate for homosexuality? No. He said it's wrong. So if we stand against a truth in God's word, then we're believing a lie. I asked these kids how simple it was, do you believe that it's okay to kill somebody? And they said no. And I sat and watched a little documentary on how many millions of dollars that they were spending on research to save this species of animal last week. And then I look at the number of abortions that are just allowed to happen, where people are killing babies. Where in somebody's mind would that be construed as right? You would have to believe a lie. You would have to believe that society says this is okay when God has clearly told us how precious and what a gift that child is.
That's right.
You say, oh, those are the major issues. Well, let's just get home a little bit. Do you think that God's word tells you that you are supposed to spend time in his word? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Hold on, we're going to use our phrase again. The word of truth. Right?
Come on now.
Okay. Then what is it that comes in our mind, those of you, those of us, who are not reading our Bible every day? Are you believing the word of truth? Or has something come into your mind and told you, really, your schedule doesn't allow for that? If that's the thought, then you've been fed a lie and you're believing a lie. You're not living with that truth. Does the Bible tell us that to come to the Lord in prayer, to have daily, continual fellowship with God? Does Jesus teach us how to pray? Does he tell us to pray without ceasing? Do we do all those things? Then those are the word of truth that came right out of here. When we choose not to, when we choose to not take our time or say we're going to try to fit it in, then we're not living according to the word of truth. We're living according to whatever lie that we're deceiving ourselves with. I just don't have time. I'm tired. I can't focus. I can't do this. No matter how we want to put it, we call it excuses. But what we're doing is believing a lie. And when he says, hey, listen, I made you and designed you to be in a body, so forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Come together and worship. Be one body. But something in our mind, knowing that the word of truth has told us, be a part of a body. Come to church. Sing praises to me. Get involved. Go do my work. Come and enjoy the fellowship and the teaching of God's word and grow in the word of truth. And something in our mind says, not today, it's pretty. Or I've got something else to do. Whatever it is we've prioritized over that thing, do you think that what we prioritized is truth? I'm going to tell you, I listened to thousands of these by people. I hate we're not going to be with you. We've got this going on. Understandably, sometimes those things are going to happen. But understand that we're believing a different truth than God is saying. And it's not by me, it's by him. Because God knows if you have an opportunity to come and worship him and he's told you and that is truth and you choose not to, this is about all the time we can give you this week, God. Well, you're deceiving yourself. How we deceive ourselves is we've believed a lie that it's okay. I'm going to take this time and I'm going to be with somebody else. It's important. I need to be with somebody else. Sometimes when they're going through something, yes, you do. But I hear people before say, well, you know what? I would come to church, but that's my family time. I'm going to tell you, I'd like to get you in a room with those parents that have older children that are trying to get their children back in church and let them tell you how important it would have been to have their children in church and that be their family time. God would have made more family time with them. I'd like to get you all together. What we need to know is that Jesus said, God set us free from the bondage of sin. He set us free from that bondage initially, but now he sets us free from any kind of lie of the devil because he gives us the word. You don't have to be in bondage to it. You don't have to be chained to it. We all have the choice to choose to believe on Jesus to set us free. When we believe in what Jesus did and confess that we are in bondage to sin, we'll be no different than that publican that cried out in Matthew, hey, listen, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I'm in bondage. Free me. And he will do it.
Hey, come on now.
But there's something to be done after that. If you accept that the things of this world are right, but they go against God's word, then not only are you believing a lie, you're promoting a lie. As mothers and fathers, we could be promoting a lie in our own household. Well, I know they say that in church, but that's not how we believe here. We can do that here, and that we don't think that's wrong. Be careful. Go back and make sure that you scour God's word to see if it's wrong, not your own opinion, because if you're promoting a lie, you're just hand-walking your child into the devil's arms and saying, hey, listen, here he is, chain him up.
Amen. Come on now. That's right.
That's scary to think about.
But it's right.
Truth is what sets us free. Where does the lie come from? Well, we saw over in John 8:44, Jesus didn't mix words, did he? He named the devil, and he says this, you're of your father, the devil. Now, he wasn't talking to these believers again. He was talking back to the Pharisees. You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. That means what he wants you to do, you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now, when he says the father of lies, that lets me know something. He's identifying the devil as the originator of lies, the father of it. Just like we could look back and we could say, okay, Adam is our father, right? Because we descended from Adam. They called him Father Abraham because the Jewish descent came from Abraham. He's saying the devil is the father of lies because he made that reference when they were saying our father Abraham. It means that we originated from Abraham is what they were saying. He said, listen, all lies originated from the devil. We have a sin nature, but it is the devil that tempts us in that sin nature. He is the one that gives us a lie. Do that because it will feel good. You're allowed to do that. Listen, young person, you've reached a certain age. You're allowed to do that. Go and have your time. I know it's not right to do that stuff, and we wouldn't normally do it, but go. You're going into school. Have your time. Go experience life. It's scary to think that we bought into that lie. That lie started with the devil. Go and do this. I know you're married, but this person, they really love you. And the person you're with has all these things wrong with them. So go and do this. Go and do this. Or how about this? Since we've covered them all today, let's cover this one too. Hey, you don't have to be married. Go ahead and live together. Go ahead and live together, and surely you understand you're in love. So it's fine. Yes, God's word does say that you need to be married, but you have to understand we've got our different thing going on, and we'll accept it. You're believing the lie instead of the truth of God's word. Have we left anything out today? Good. Give you plenty to talk about. The devil is identified as a liar and the father of it, meaning that all lies originate from him. Something dawned on me the other day as I was studying and reading for our Wednesday night message, and I was back in Revelation chapter 20 where it tells us that when Jesus comes back after the tribulation period, before the millennial kingdom, he will put the devil in the bottomless pit and he will chain him in the bottomless pit. He's going to chain him in the bottomless pit. The devil's going to be put in bondage in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Guess what? There's not going to be for 1,000 years what it says in there. And there will not be sin for 1,000 years. Isn't it ironic that the devil is out here to try to make us and tempt us to sin so that we're chained in bondage to a lie? And ironically, God takes the devil and says, since you've chained all these people for all this time, have a little bit yourself. 1,000 years you're chained, guess what? Nobody's going to be tempted to sin in those 1,000 years.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The fascinating thing is that we have this choice to believe a lie. We think that we have to choose to believe the truth. And that's true. Everybody has to make a choice to believe the truth. But what we don't think about when Christians who've been freed from the bondage of sin are tempted by the devil and he tells them to do something that goes against the word of truth, that goes against the word of God, because it'll feel good or because it'll make you richer or because you need to do this, you can take care of it. When it has to do with worry or fear, think about this, get worried about this, do this, and it goes against God's word that says, trust him, lean on him, depend on him, have faith in him, use his power, not your own. When we do these kind of things, then we deceive ourselves and we put ourselves right back in bondage to a lie. If God has told us that we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us, then don't you know that God has told us there's no little stake in the ground that can hold us. We're looking at the stake and we're deceived by the chain. He knows that we can break free. If I set you free, you shall be free indeed. Didn't he say that? He's saying you'll really be free. Why in the world are you not going over and kicking up that stake and saying, I don't have these chains, I've been set free. Why is it? Because we've accepted the lie. And in order to break free from that lie, We have to do the only remedy that we can, which is to come back and fall on our face and say, God, I need to be freed from this again.
Amen.
I need to be freed. I don't need to get saved again. What's happened to me is I've become entangled back in that lie. What happened to me is that I began to think that because it worked out good for me, that this was actual truth. Let me read you this. This is Galatians 5:1. This is what Paul was telling the church at Galatia, because they had done good, but then they slipped up. Listen, I want to close with this. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. You know what liberty is? Freedom. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Listen, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
It is one thing for someone who has never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is one thing for them to be in the bondage of sin. It is a totally different thing for a child of God to let themselves be entangled in the bondage of sin again. You say, it's the sin. It's not the sin, it's the lie. What happens is you never get entangled in sin until you accept the lie. And the lie is always going to come from the devil. The lie is always going to come from him. And when we choose that, then we become entangled back in bondage again. Here I am, a free man, saved by the grace of God, glory to God, and then all of a sudden the devil convinces me, listen, you don't need to think that way. You need to start hating these people. Or he convinces me, you know what? Your wife is just not the person you need to be with. This other person can give you so much more fulfillment out of life. They really care about you. Or he begins to tell me, hey, listen, just take that. You deserve it. Just take it. It's yours, really. You can lie a little bit. You can cheat a little bit. You deserve that. Or he begins to tell me, yeah, you're not made to be somebody that goes out here and tells somebody about Jesus. You just live your life and nobody has to say it. Every one of those things I just mentioned are lies from the devil. And they can happen to Christians. Today I'd like you to look at yourself. See if you are in bondage to some lie right now. You say, praise God, preacher, I'm not in bondage to any lie. I say, glory to God. Would you please come and pray for those that are, because you're in a good position to pray right now. But you may be in here today and you don't have that peace that God wants you to have. You know you're saved, but you're living in bondage still. In bondage to something the devil told you is right and God's word clearly says it's wrong. And you know it, the Spirit has told you. Society is telling you you're okay, so nobody's pointing fingers at you. But you know, and you know that God knows because he keeps reminding you. Come and give it to him today and ask him to free you from it. Come and pull up that stake today. Slip off that chain and be free indeed like he told us we could be. Your adversary, the devil, is working against you. All he can do is lie to you. He can't make you do anything. But he's lied to a lot of people. And so today society accepts all those things that he's lying to you about. And the next generation, he's lying to them. It's up to us to be able to stand in the truth and promote the word of truth.
Right.
And then you may be here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you're in bondage to a lie. The Bible tells us this one word of truth. He says the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy you. He doesn't want you ever to accept the truth. So he will keep reinforcing the lie, and now he's got a lot of help because many have joined together to try to distort the truth from a lie. And now you're socially acceptable if you accept the lie. So does it make it harder? It makes it harder for the next generations. Absolutely it does. But if you're listening today and you've never accepted that one great first truth that Jesus Christ is your only way to have fellowship with God, that He died for you, was buried, rose again as the sinless Son of God, and only His blood can cover your sins. If you've never accepted that by saying, Jesus, save me. What is He saving you from? The bondage of sin. And that sin comes upon us because the devil continually lies and we give into it. We have this sin nature. You're asking Him to free you from that. If you've never done that today, I want to pray with you. Jesus offers His salvation to you. Use this time of invitation and come and ask the Lord to come into your heart and save you from that bondage. Then He'll help you live. He prayed to God, sanctify them through Thy word. He'll help you live through His word. His word that He spoke, the word that the prophets wrote, the word that the apostles wrote, and the Holy Spirit, the word that's living inside of you. He gives us all kind of help. So when I look back on my life at that stutter that I had, I don't know if you ever had a stutter in your Christian life. I had a big stutter. And I try to define what really happened. And I try to short answer it by saying, oh, it's when I began to sin. Well, that doesn't help me figure out what happened. The sin is, it's too late. That stutter in my life happened when I began to believe a lie. That lie kept me in bondage to sin. So if you want to be freed from the bondage of sin, you have to use the word of truth. Today, you have an opportunity to examine yourself and make sure you're right where God wants you to be. Would you stand with me? Father God, I love You and I praise You and I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for the word of truth that was spoken today. I thank You, Lord, for Your message to us as it finds us, Lord, in a society and in a time, Lord, where Your truth is being distorted. I pray, God, that Your children go out and live according to the word of truth. Not be hearers, but doers only. Not be hearers only, but doers. I pray, God, that today, if there's someone that's in this congregation or someone listening, I pray, Lord, that today, if they never accepted that word of truth for the first time and ask You to be their Savior, I pray that today is the day they would see their condition. And Lord, for Christians, Lord, look at us. We begin to believe things. We're no different than that elephant. Lord, show us our chains today. Show us, Lord, the lie we may be believing. And Lord, I just pray that You would give boldness to Your children to come today and to make it right with You, just to confess that to You. Give them boldness to leave here with the peace that You promised them from being free, Lord, from not being in bondage. I pray You move in this room today. In Jesus' name, amen.